From the city of Providenciales, here is tonight's Nation's Report with Zoya Fessler.
It's the start of another week. Thankful to be here. It's Monday, March 20th, 2023. Here's a look at today's headlines. Royal Turks and Caicos Islands police busy over the last few days. Bermuda police seize almost $2 million of drugs. Air France suspending flights to the Dominican Republic. Murder at a fun fair in Germany. Earthquake off coast of Ecuador leaves persons dead and injured. We'll also take a look at the latest in sports and your weather forecast. Hello, Turks and Caicos. I am Zoya Fassler. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Let's get right into the news of the day. Homicide detectives of the Royal Turks and Caicos Islands Police Force are investigating the shooting death of a Five Keys resident that occurred on Sunday, March 19th. Based on preliminary reports, at around 9:33 a.m., the police control room received several calls from residents stating that gunshots were being heard in an area behind Liz's Bakery, which is just off Five Keys Road. Police officers, along with medical practitioners, were dispatched to the given location and found the lifeless body of a male lying face down on the ground with what appeared to be gunshot wounds about the body. The deceased has been identified as Jerron Merville, 33 years old. Officers are at this time gathering pertinent details to ascertain a motive behind the murder of Merville. Superintendent in charge of crime, safeguarding, and public protection, Dean Holden, said, quote, "We believe the man who was killed was targeted by a number of men who were armed. If you have a family member or a friend or know someone that is involved in illegal activities who has an illegal firearm, do something that will save their life." End quote. Report them by contacting Crime Stoppers or the closest police station. In other crime news, 39-year-old Bahamian national Lopez Kino Williams has been sentenced to 4 years imprisonment, having been found guilty earlier this year of assaulting a female teenager. Williams, who resided in Long Bay at the time of the incident, was charged by officers of the Royal Turks and Caicos Islands Police Force's Safeguarding and Public Protection Unit with assault by penetration, following a report made by the victim on November 27, 2020. At the time of the assault, the victim was only 13 years old. Williams was sentenced at the Supreme Court, having been charged under the Sexual Offenses Ordinance of 2020. The guilty verdict was delivered on January 17, 2023, following the conclusion of the trial at the Supreme Court, which Williams was granted $10,000 bail with one surety. The trial judge had ordered as part of his bail conditions that Williams surrender all travel documents and not travel throughout the islands of the TCI and report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to the Chalk Sound Police Station between the hours of 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. And for a bit of lighter police news, a brief handover ceremony of medical equipment, a colposcope from the United Kingdom's National Crime Agency, or NCA, to the staff and medical personnel of the Sexual Assault Referral Center was completed on March 17th at the Ethel Ingham Center. International Liaison Officer for the Caribbean British Overseas Territories, Sav Kurikou, MBE, made the donation on behalf of the UK organization. Present to receive the equipment were representatives from the Royal Turks and Caicos Islands Police Force's Safeguarding and Public Protection Unit, Department of Social Development, Chief Executive Officer of the TCI Hospital, Dr. Denise Brathwaite-Tennant, and also medical representatives. The UK National Crime Agency is proud to lead the threat against child sexual abuse and exploitation in the UK and its British overseas territories, supporting them and international partners in combating transitional child sexual offenders. The team was honored to donate this key piece of equipment to the multi-agency safeguarding hub Sexual Assault Referral Center to reduce trauma experienced by survivors of violence and to greatly increase the forensic opportunities available to bring these offenders to justice. Head of Crime, Safeguarding and Public Protection Unit Superintendent Dean Holden, in a brief statement following the donation, said, quote, "This is building on our existing Sexual Assault Referral Center and the excellent process we have already got. This equipment will enhance our ability to provide a quality service to victims and to continuously preserve our evidence in the prosecution of serious offenders." End quote. Now, the Turks and Caicos Islands Community College students of the Hospitality and Tourism faculty will be leaving in a few days for their European tour. A trip which totaled $60,000 will take them to the United Kingdom, Spain, Switzerland, and Italy. Generous partners, the Wine Cellar and Grace Bay Resorts, through various fundraising activities and donations, have made this trip possible. A last donation was made to the college last week, bringing them just shy of the total amount needed.
They have always been here to encourage us, provide opportunities for our students, and create liaison, and also encourage them to be the best and be a great contributor to the Turks and Caicos Island hospitality industry, I should say. And one of the things that they have always done is whatever the hospitality program is doing, they are right there with us. And one of the things that we have done this year, or we are doing this year, we have organized an educational tour to Europe. I'm sure you have heard this story many times, but as we are getting closer, we are excited, and they are here to help us get this off the ground. We have been hosting numerous fundraisers for them, supported by Wine Cellar, and of course, hosted by the Grace Bay Resorts, at Point Grace Resort and at Grace Bay Club.
As I said in our initial press conference, this to us is dear to our heart, as in the Wine Cellar, Mr. Williams and his family. We see travel, as one of the major educational tools in the world. And anytime we're able to support kids and enlighten them and expose them to the larger world, that is what we're definitely all about.
Yes, I mean, from Grace Bay Resorts, we're 100% committed alongside with the Wine Cellar keeping this going as a yearly event. It'll be our contribution from F&B at Grace Bay Resorts to commit back to the community college. You know, it's a privilege for me and some of the other teams who have come to work in Turks and Caicos. You know, it's a beautiful country, amazing people, and we want to give back as much as we can. So we feel helping the community grow with the kids and allowing them to travel and become part of this industry that's treated me so well in my career and others, that, you know, put them on the same path, and there's no reason why they can't experience many things all over the world and bring that talent back to Turks and Caicos if we're all committed and united together to help them on that journey. So, you know, I think this year we did everything in a bit of a rush because we came up with it last minute, and we've achieved a massive amount of money in a short time. And I think, you know, if we're talking 12 months from now for the next visit, we can easily nearly double the amount that we've got, and we can use some of the other hotels within our group, which will be another two next year, to be able to contribute towards it and do more events that are spread out a bit.
It is through the collaborative efforts of the Grace Bay Resorts and the Wine Cellar that have allowed the Turks and Caicos Islands Community College to put their vision within reach, which is to provide quality education and training for students, particularly those who have enrolled in the Faculty of Hospitality and Tourism Management. The college mandate is the building of human capital, and this is a perfect example of ensuring that they harness the skills and the talents of our people, especially in the area of hospitality, knowing that tourism is our number one industry here in the Turks and Caicos Islands. I would like to take this time to wish all students and teachers all the best and enjoy what the world has to offer. That wraps up local news. Regional news is up next. So let's take a look at what's going on around the Caribbean. Bermuda police and customs officials have arrested four people and seized almost $2 million U.S. dollars in suspected cannabis in the latest major drug bust. Officers said on Thursday they executed warrants at a Hamilton business and homes in Devonshire and Pembroke parishes, seizing a shipping container in the process. The container yielded what was believed to be cannabis with a street value of $1.9 million. The Police Drugs Unit was assisted by the Financial Crimes Unit and the Tactical Division. The operation is the latest in a series of high-profile drug seizures in recent months. In February, 7 people were arrested and suspected drugs and cash, as well as illegal dogs, were taken in police raids on 2 houses in Devonshire and Smith's. A police sting at a Smith's residence netted drugs with an estimated street value of $1.3 million. A police operation dubbed Operation Mortar led to 3 arrests at locations in Pembroke and St. George's on October 24th after a shipment containing almost 120 pounds of cannabis was seized. And the French airline Air France has announced that from March 25, 2023, its aircraft will no longer serve the Dominican Republic due to the level of fuel taxes considered to be too high. According to local media, the price of fuel is 35% more expensive in the Dominican Republic than in any other of the West Indies, and 25% more expensive than in Cancun, Mexico. This is why Air France has decided to stop serving Santo Domingo and Punta Cana airports, tourist areas that attract many French tourists every year. The suspension of its connections from Paris's Charles de Gaulle International Airport to both Santo Domingo and Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic initially was announced to suspend for the 2023 summer season, but now it may be extended until the 2023-2024 winter season. And with that, tourism in the Caribbean is still alive and well, according to latest statistics, and is recovering from the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Caribbean Tourism Organization, or CTO, revealed that the Caribbean accounted for 3.1% of all arrivals worldwide, with 28.3 million registered tourist visits in the Caribbean by the end of 2022. This is 52.4% more than tourists in 2021. While the 3.1% is down 1 percentage point from the historically high share of 4.1% recorded in 2021, the numbers still look promising, according to Neil Walters, the acting Secretary General for the Caribbean Tourism Organization. According to data from the World Tourism Organization, 2022 saw close to 917 million people traveling. The CTO further revealed that in 2022, the Caribbean had improvements in the hotel industry. Hotel occupancy increased to 60.7% in 2022, which is a significant increase from 44.4% in 2021. Cruise visitors in the region reached 19.2 million in 2022, 5 times higher than in 2021. The U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Martin, Turks and Caicos, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and Curacao are the 6 countries that have surpassed their total pre-pandemic arrival numbers. That wraps up the happenings around the region. World News is up next. Now, officials had to shut down a large fun fair in western Germany on Sunday after a man was stabbed to death on a carousel. Police said the 31-year-old victim and another man got into a fight while riding a carousel at the fair in Münster, a city of around 300,000 people. During the altercation, the suspect stabbed the victim with a knife. Despite attempts to resuscitate him, the victim died on the scene. According to police, the two men did not know each other beforehand. Police are still searching for the suspect and another man who was with him at the time of the attack, both of whom fled the scene. The fair is usually held 3 times a year in Münster, and according to the organizer's website, it draws up to 1 million visitors annually. And at least 15 people are confirmed dead after a 6.5 magnitude earthquake occurred off the coast of Ecuador on Saturday. The earthquake occurred around 12:22 p.m. local time. A 4.8 magnitude earthquake was also reported around 12:28 p.m. The centers of both were about 18 miles from Balao, a town located in the coastal province of Guayas, according to Ecuador's Seismic Institute. The earthquake was felt in 13 provinces in the South American country, with Guayas, El Oro, Azuay, and Chimborazo most affected. Search and rescue operations are ongoing, particularly in the city of Machala in the El Oro province. The number of fatalities could rise amid efforts to find those trapped under the rubble. Several residences, including ones along the coast, were reported to have collapsed. Ecuadorian authorities activated a national operation committee to support those in need. The strong earthquake activity was also felt in northern Peru. And security guards at London Heathrow International Airport's Terminal 5 are set to strike for 10 days beginning March 31st in a dispute over their pay. The Unite Union says more than 1,400 of its members employed by Heathrow will walk out in a period which covers the school's Easter holidays. Workers at Terminal 5, which is used mainly by British Airways, and those who check cargo entering the airport will take part in the action ending on Easter Sunday. Airport officials say contingency plans will be put in place to keep the airport open. In a statement, London Heathrow said passengers can be assured the airport will be open and operational despite unnecessary threats of strike action by Unite. The company said it had proposed an inflation-beating 10% increase in pay, but Unite says the offer does not make up for years of pay freezes and cuts. Unite members are simply unable to make ends meet due to the low wages, and they are striking due to need and not greed. The strike announcement comes as more than 1,000 passport office workers announced they would go on strike for 5 weeks over a dispute about jobs, pay, and conditions. Members of the Public and Commercial Services Union working across England, Scotland, and Wales will walk out from April 3rd to May 5th. At peak times, which includes April, the passport office can receive up to 250,000 applications per week. It means that more than 1 million applications could be sent during the strike period. News of the strike has given rise to fears that passports will not be processed in time for some people's holidays this summer. That's it for World News. Sports is up next. Let's take a look at the latest in the sporting world. The Women's World Cup is getting an increase in prize money of more than 300% for this year's tournament. The $152 million fund for the first 32-team tournament, covering prize money, team preparation, and payments to players' clubs, is a huge boost from the 24-team edition in 2019 and 10 times what it was in 2015. Some of the $110 million in pure prize money should be dedicated to paying players. Female players worldwide have been fighting for equal pay and equal respect with men's national teams, including the defending champions, the United States, Canada, France, and Spain. A target of equal prize money for men and women at their next World Cups in 2026 and 2027, respectively, a tough task when the 32 men's team shared $440 million at last year's World Cup in Qatar. And keeping with football news, Miami has been selected by football's world governing body, FIFA, as one of the 16 cities announced as venues for the 2026 Men's World Cup. 11 cities were selected from the United States, 3 from Mexico, and 2 from Canada in what will be the first ever 48-team tournament. It will mark the first time the men's version of the game will be hosted by Canada. The 11 cities and venues selected in the U.S. are the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, the Gillette Stadium in Boston, AT&T Stadium in Dallas, NRG Stadium in Houston, Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, MetLife Stadium in New York, New Jersey, Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Levi's Stadium in San Francisco, and Lumen Field in Seattle. The two cities for Canada are BMO Field in Toronto and BC Place in Vancouver, while those in Mexico include Estadio Azteca in Mexico City, Estadio Akron from Guadalajara, and Estadio BBVA in Monterrey. As host nations, the U.S., Mexico, and Canada will all earn direct berths to the final. The 2026 World Cup will be the first tournament featuring 48 teams and 12 groups of four teams in each. The top two from each group will reach the round of 32, plus the eight best third-place teams will also reach the knockout rounds. There will be 104 games at the 2026 World Cup, which will be hosted by three nations for the first time. The World Cup is scheduled to take place from July 20th through August 20th. That was a look at the latest in sports. Let's take a look at our weather forecast. Mostly sunny skies, however, intervals of clouds, isolated showers expected with a less than 40% chance of rain. However, weather conditions are always changing. Highs of 81 degrees and lows of 73. Winds are light and variable from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. That was a look at today's weather forecast and the end of today's newscast. Recapping the news for today, Royal Turks and Caicos Islands police busy over the last few days. Bermuda police seize almost $2 million of drugs. Air France suspending flights to the Dominican Republic. Murder at a fun fair in Germany. Earthquake off coast of Ecuador leaves persons dead and injured. Thank you all so much for joining me here on RTC 89.1 FM for your news update. If you missed today's presentation, you can always re-listen on our website at www.rtc89fm.com. You can also download the RTC app in the Google Play Store for the news and also some of your favorite shows. Have a good evening. I am Zoya Fassler.
Join us again tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. for another edition of The Nation's Report.